Hey, it's Joey. Welcome back to Las Vegas and MMS 2013. Joining me right now, Brian Desmond. How's it going, buddy?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
Doing good. So I've known you for a while. Chicago, you know, that whole thing. But the folks at home don't know who you are, so why don't you tell them?
Sure. So my name's Brian Desmond. I, as Joey said, live in Chicago. Consultant focused mostly on Active Directory. Actually been an Active Directory MVP for a while now. And I work for a consulting firm called Edgile, where I focus as a solution architect on the Microsoft Identity Stack, so Active Directory, ADFS, a little bit of ADRMS, DAC, what we're going to be talking about today, as well as a Forefront Identity Manager.
Now, see, if I had my druthers, I'd do nothing but sit here and talk AD with you all day long. But you came and did a session on DAC and RMS, right? So, or was it just DAC? Was it
DAC one and both? RMS.
DAC and RMS. So what I want to kind of cover with you today is just kind of go into a little bit about what was the session about, talk about the technology and some of the questions that people have had around DAC and RMS. So I guess the first thing is if somebody's not 100% familiar with it, let's just kind of give the quick 5-second pitch on DAC RMS.
Sure. So we should probably start with DAC is Dynamic Access Control.
Okay.
And the problem that DAC really lets us solve is it lets us take a look at three properties of kind of the experience that every user sits down at. Who they are, so not just the groups that they've been a membership. We've been doing AD for a long time and NT before that. We worried about if we wanted to give you access to a file, we worried about what groups you're in.
Yeah.
And now we can think about, well, you know, really those groups really map pretty closely probably to some attributes in your AD. So maybe we've got a group of people in the marketing department, a group of people that are executives, things like that. What if I could go on a file and say that I really want to allow people access to this when the user's a member of the finance department, they're a manager or a senior manager, and I could say, what if I want to say, and the file sensitivity is confidential or secret?
Okay.
And I can also take in, if you have a Windows 8 client, I can take properties of your device and factor that in. So what if I want to say that only allow them access to this file if it's a top secret file? For example, if their machine, it's an IT managed machine.
So one of the things that I get asked all the time when I'm out kind of talking around and when we bring this up is, well, does this replace my normal NTFS permissions? Does this change the way I should start thinking about, you know, because we do the whole AGDLP thing and that's been around for ages, right? That's how we've always known how to assign, at least that's the Microsoft way that
Sure.
they want us to know how to assign permissions. Do I rethink this? If I'm going to deploy something new, is it different or is it on top of? Is it a chicken and egg kind of a scenario?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So really the first thing you should think about when you think about this is NTFS ACLs and what you're used to are still there and they're not going away. So what we're going to do with DAC when we look at the demo, we're going to take your NTFS ACL, and then what we're going to be able to do is for each entry in the ACL, an ACE, an access control entry,
right.
We can add conditions to that ACE.
Okay.
So I can say, rather than having all those entries in there for the finance users, the executives that happen to be in finance, all those permutations that get all those groups, then you have the token bullet problem, and say, what if I ACL my share for domain users, so everybody in my AD, then I add a set of conditions.
I can't handle this. I just opened it up to everybody.
You just opened it up to everybody? But what if I add a set of conditions that said only domain users that are members of the finance department and their executives?
Okay.
And as soon as HR updates that, my identity management system updates AD, ACL doesn't have to be touched. No group membership has to be touched because the user's attributes have been updated.
Okay. I know you have a demo, but before we jump into the demo, there are just a couple of things in terms of requirements from an infrastructure standpoint. Because this is technology that's based on Server 2012. So can you kind of give us an idea what exactly has to be in place? Am I updating the schema? Am I doing all of this stuff? What needs to be there?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the great things about this feature is that, you know, folks that have been working on AD for a while are used to, like, there's a really cool new feature that came out, and then I have to wait till I get my Forest functional level up to the latest version.
Yep, absolutely.
And that can, in a big organization, that can take years to happen. With DAC, Dynamic Access Control, there's two things you need, optionally a third. First, you need one Windows Server 2012 domain controller,
okay.
So only one. Now, chances are that you're probably going to want more than that because, of course, you wouldn't want one domain controller controlling access to all your files.
Right.
But technically, you only have to update one domain controller. The files, of course, have to be on a Windows Server 2012 file server.
Okay.
The client, however, can be down-level. So okay. We don't need a Windows 8 client.
Okay. So no going through and having to change force functional levels, just one DC, one Server 2012 file server, or ideally all of your file
yes.
servers should be at the same
yeah.
level so that you can leverage this, and then down-level clients.
Absolutely. And if
cool.
you want to take advantage of that device claims part where I say only allow access if your device is managed by IT, that does require a Windows 8 client.
Okay. All right, gotcha. So why don't you jump right into your demo here and kind of show us a little bit, just a little tour around things and how you set it up.
What we'll do, we'll do a quick tour. We'll go ahead and set up what's called a claim, which is fundamental to Dynamics Access Control.
Okay.
Well, we're going to take one of those attributes of a user account. Maybe we'll take the title attribute.
Sure.
And we'll control some access to files based on the user's job title.
All right, awesome.
Let's do that.
Jump in.
So I'm going to hop on my Windows 2012 domain controller, and the tool that you're going to use for probably about 90% of setting this up is called the Active Directory Administrative Center.
Yep.
Came with Windows 2008 R2. It's been updated in Windows 2012. Handy thing right on the homepage, we've got 8 steps for setting up DAX, so if you're not sure what to do and you want to set it up in a lab, just click through these, and you'll be on your way.
Is it a role that initially has to be installed first, or is it just go there and then you run through it?
Yeah, so there's no roles to install.
Okay.
It's part of AD. It's just a matter of configuring it.
Awesome.
So the first thing we're going to do is go to the Dynamic Access Control node on the left, and then we're going to go to Claim Types. That's where we're going to configure the attributes that become part of our claims.
All right.
All right. And I've already had a couple configured here, department employee types, whether they work in finance or marketing, full-time or vendor, that sort of thing. Why don't we add title as well? So we'll click New and go to New Claim. And what I get to do here is I can choose from any attribute in the AD schema that I want to make available as a claim.
So if I have favorite drink...
Absolutely. If your favorite drink is Coca-Cola, we can make sure that you dynamically have access to a share until you change to Pepsi.
All right. Awesome.
So, and this includes both built-in attributes as well as custom ones. So if you've extended the schema, you can go from there.
Awesome.
So we'll go ahead and search for title. Pick title here. And we can just do it like this, and then you'll see in a minute, if I just click OK now, you'll be able to arbitrarily enter a title in the ACL designer.
Okay.
Or I can give you some suggested values so you get a nice drop-down list. So then when the person that's configuring it, they can pick. So maybe I'm going to go ahead and do that and say that our options are a manager, executive, or intern.
Okay.
Whoops. Spelling does count.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's close enough. Okay, so what we've done, we've gone ahead and created a claim for title. So now we're going to go into the standard NTFS permissions you're used to and right-click the folder, go to Properties and Security. Go here, and then the important thing here is I want to go to the Advanced button. That's where everything lights up.
Sure.
So the first thing, this kind of looks like a traditional ACL where I've got a group called finance users for the finance share, and when someone needs access, they call the help desk, we add them in. But what if we want to make this dynamic? So I'm going to do like we talked about. I'm going to add domain users to the list, click select principal and type that in. Do the same thing you're used to. I'm going to give modify rights to domain users. But, of course, we don't want the entire domain to have access to the finance share. That might be bad.
Yeah, that could be a bad thing.
So what if I say that instead, I want to have either full-time employees that work in finance have access to the share, or anyone that's a manager or an executive, even if they work in marketing, for example.
Okay.
So we can do this here. We've created this ace on top, that access control entry. Now, on the bottom, this is where we create those conditions. That's how we gate this and make sure that only a subset of people have access.
Okay.
So I click add condition. I'm going to say user department equals finance. And then I'm going to add another condition. I'm going to say and.
Sure.
User... dot employee type equals full time.
Okay.
And I'm say or. I do ands or ors here. User dot title. Here's that title one we just added. And rather than equals, I'm gonna say any of. And now I get to pick from those options we just defined.
Oh, very cool.
So I'm gonna do manager and executive. And there we go. So now I've created that compound expression. You can get even more complicated with this with more ands and ors and parentheses. Remember from algebra, mm-hmm. putting all those parentheses. You can do that in here. And we hit OK, and we're on our way. Now, I can log into a client here, and I think in the interest of time, we can trust that this probably works. But what if I show you one where it doesn't work and how we can figure that out?
Yeah, absolutely.
Does that sound more interesting?
Yeah, because, I mean, reality is a lot of times when we're dealing with this kind of thing... I don't know about you in your consulting gigs, but I know when I go in and I talk to customers or I personally have managed file servers, the ones that you adopt and those ACLs are just an absolute nightmare. You have no idea.
Absolutely.
Most people don't have any idea. So you get a call from a user and they're like, I need access to this and it's not working. Why? And you spend 6 hours trying to go through and figure out exactly where it is. So.
Yeah, so one of the great improvements, and this is one thing that does require the Windows 8 client in addition to the Windows 2012 file server, is this concept of access denied remediation. But let's give the user and the data owner the tools to help themselves fix it rather than a really expensive help desk call that could go on forever.
Okay, sounds good.
So I'm going to log into my client here as a user that I happen to know is not going to have access to this share.
Kim Akers never has access to the share.
No?
No, never. No. Whatever you try to do, she just never does.
Yeah. Britta Simon's lucky, though. She has access. So I'm logged in as Kim Akers. I'm going to go to the company data share where we set this up. I'm going to double-click finance. And I'm going to get the standard thing. You've gotten this before. And as an end user, this is completely useless. You have no access, and here's a link to help. And it's just going to tell you that, in fact, you have no access. And then what do? You pick up the help desk or the phone. You're really frustrated. You call the help desk. They have no idea who owns this share, and on and on and on. So what if we can make this a whole lot easier, giving the end user a way to get help?
Okay.
And that's what access denied remediation does. So we're going to go back to the file server and configure that. And there's a couple steps here. First thing is we're going to go in another tool called File Server Resource Manager.
Yep.
And this tool has been improved over the past few versions of Windows. And I have to say, kind of as a general tip, not necessarily related to this thing's really cool, all the stuff it can do. You should definitely check it out.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of those things every time I'm in mucking around with file servers, I actually prefer to use this tool.
Yeah, it's got so much stuff in it.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go to the properties of the file server. And I've pre-configured an SMTP server here because we're going to see in a minute that access denied box is going to be able to send an email to the owner.
Okay.
So I've pre-configured that. We're going to go over to access denied assistance because this is disabled by default. We're going to check the box and enable it. If we do nothing else, this message here, this generic message that actually tells you to look at help but in a little more detail, will pop up. We'll see in a minute. We're going to put a more interesting message.
Yeah. Okay.
So we've configured that. We're also going to enable the email feature. Go ahead and do that. Then the next thing I can do is I can come down here and I can configure an owner for each folder individually or each share individually. It'll inherit down the tree.
Okay.
As well as I can configure a message that pops up for that specific folder when you don't have access.
All right.
So let's do that. So I'm going to go ahead and configure this message for the finance department share. I'm going to put something here like, this is the share for the finance department. If you need access, please click request assistance.
So let me stop you here and just ask you a quick question on this. No matter what I have in the existing structure, when I go in and I add this, that will then give that owner the ability to grant access if a message like this comes in?
Or
do I have to go in and do a bunch of stuff? Okay.
Yeah, right. So the owner would still need access to modify the permissions.
Right,
this
sure.
is purely enabling the owner to get an email. It doesn't even have to be the owner. Typically, you'd set like an exchange distribution list as the recipient.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah, gotcha.
So we set that message, and then we're also going to want to set a recipient for this. So we'll go down here to folder owner email. We'll pick the same path. And we'll say that this is maybe finance.share.owners@cohovines.com. All right. So that's enabled. Now I'm going to go back onto the client, and we're going to open that share again.
Okay.
And in fact, I'm going to have to log out and log back in because that access denied gets cached for a few minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
So in the interest of time, let's sign out. While we're signing out, we'll sign back in and give this another shot. And so we'll go back to the company data share. We'll open finance and check this out.
Well, there you go.
So, here's the message we just configured.
Yep.
And here's this request assistance button. Now, this is pretty neat. So I click this, and I get the opportunity as the end user to enter a business justification for why I need this access. So, you know, I would really like to do my job today. Put that in. Fairly reasonable.
Hope it doesn't go to the executives, right?
Yeah, well, you know. And I click send message. Now, rather than like launching Outlook, your email program, this actually on the server on behalf of the user is going to fire that email off. And I'll show you a sample of that. Got that right here. This gives you, let me zoom out a little here. So here's just a sample from when I practiced this a little earlier. So right here it says it's from the server, it's to the finance share owners. Here's the user that tried, here's the path they tried, and here's their business justification. I'd like to do my job. Now, the neat thing is it says for this user, here's the access they already have to the share. Because what if they had read access, but they really need writes? Now you know what you're trying to fix.
That's awesome.
In this case, Kim has no access.
Right.
Gives him the owner some basic directions. Go to this path, right-click properties, go to security. You can use the effective permissions tab we'll look at in a minute to help figure it out. Additional, and then here's the claims they have, because they know you might be using DAC. What if DAC's the problem here? Let's tell them all the claims that's in the user's token, so we can start there. Maybe it's that they're missing a full-time employee claim or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that didn't feed in from the HR system or
that's
something.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. So do we want to look at classification or how are we doing?
Yeah, so let's just talk quickly about classification.
Sure.
And because Brad did show a little bit of classification in the keynote, and that happens to be actually one of kind of my favorite new features that's been around a little bit. So for those who aren't aware of file classification, why don't you just give us a quick little update on it and kind of why it's there and how it all works together.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. So file classification has actually been around for a while. It's been kind of iteratively improved in each version of Windows. And the idea is that I've got all this data out on these shares, and we know some of it has things like sensitive data. It could have like social security numbers, health information, credit card numbers, things that are really bad when they leak out. Now, what if I could have Windows, anytime someone saves a document, either creates a document, updates a document, scan the contents of that document and say, hey, I just matched a credit card number or a social security number, so let me apply a tag, some metadata to the document that says, hey, this contains sensitive information.
Right.
And so that's part of the puzzle. Now I can get a report and say, hey, all these people have saved sensitive data, but that doesn't really solve the data leakage problem.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
So the data leakage problem is the more interesting problem to solve. So now I've classified all this data. I've got something with some high business impact tag on it, let's say. Now when I have Windows come back and say, use my ADRMS, my rights management server, take all the data that's been classified as sensitive, high business impact, whatever it is, and apply a rights management template that restricts what people can do with it. Can mm-hmm. they share it? Can they print it? Can they forward it? All those sorts of things. And now I've got a great handle on whether or not I can lose data or have data leakage issues, and a way to show auditors, show my management that I really have that under control, and I'm controlling some of that risk.
Awesome. Awesome. So for folks who want more information, we're going to, obviously, we will put your session up so they can watch your session, but rumor around town says you've got a book coming out shortly.
That is an interesting rumor. And in fact, my new Active Directory book, Active Directory 5th Edition from O'Reilly, is actually printing tomorrow at the printing press, so it should be available now by the time you see this online on wherever you get books, and I've got a whole chapter on dynamic access control.
Awesome. Is this one of these technologies that's fairly simple to get into, and then as you proceed down the path gets considerably more complex, or is it complex to begin with, or is it accessible?
Is it accessible? Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of the interesting thing about DAC as a technology is not necessarily a 100% of a technology problem. It's really one of those problems where IT is going to have to work with the business and work together to think about the problems that, you know, your legal department, your compliance department, your auditors, what problems are they trying to solve? What are they struggling with? And how can IT add value with DAC? Because I think if you approach it that way, and you approach a small problem and kind of you solve it really well, then think about how you can expand it, you can be really successful.
That's an awesome tip. That is an awesome tip. All right, Brian, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us here, and good luck on your book.
Thanks.
And it was great to see you again,
great
buddy.
Great seeing you again.
All right, guys. We'll be back. Thanks.